morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am going to be with you for about 50 to 55 minutes. I'll get it out. Don't worry. It's been a long day. I'm honored and privileged, and I say this because I mean it. And those that know, I don't pull punches. I'm too old and I'm too grumpy. I'm here with somebody that I have the utmost respect for and admire, and his name is Timothy Shagrew. He is the district attorney for Berkshire County, Massachusetts. And in my opinion, he's doing one heck of a job throughout the county. He's opened his eyes. He sees the whole county. The rural, and the cities and towns. And that's what makes him, in my opinion, a good man. And he's not afraid to prosecute. And he's got a staff. D.A. Shagrew, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Bill. How are you doing this morning?
Well, for an old fat ball guy, you know, I'm still here. I consider it a blessing to every morning when my feet hit the ground.
So, there you go.
Yeah. Boy, a lot going on and nationally. And, I do want to, if you don't mind, let me just launch off on this. Some of you know I ran the Violent Youthful Offender Program. And I tried to work with the other person, the previous DA. But this DA has a program, a diversion program, that is anchored in logic and reality. And I mean that to be a compliment. You can say, oh, the poor kid, but the poor kid did something. And now we have to look at who are the poor victims. And my kids were real bad. But the DA, you got a hell of a program, is all I'm going to say.
Yeah, we work hard, especially when it comes to juvenile court. It's supposed to be a court of learning, a court of still hope. Unfortunately, we do have some tough cases that come through there. And July 9th, we caught a 16-year-old Tannock High School with a machine gun. It's very disturbing, so we take those cases very, very seriously. There are also a lot of kids that just find themselves in trouble just because of who they hang around and what they're doing. We try to make sure we get those kids a chance. So I don't want them ending up in adult court where the consequences are so much more significant, and when you can end up in state prison. So we like to do it as a teaching court to teach kids how to stay out of trouble. And a lot of our programming, you might know as well, Bill, is that we do a lot of at-risk youth, the ones that they're not really in trouble yet, but we see them going down this path, and we try to reach out to them ahead of time. That's why I've invested so much of my staff being in the schools, invested so much this summer on camps, teaching about internet safety, teaching about bullying, and giving kids something to do, and keeping them active and keeping them busy. So I think the root of our future is to always work with our children. I've always said that. And I think when we have our kids that end up in the juvenile court system or potentially headed that direction, that we owe them an obligation to, as a society, to try to help them navigate these tough years. Because let's be honest, that being a 14, 15, 16-year-old kid is a lot harder than it was when I was 14, 15, 16 years old.
What about me?
Yeah. Oh, God. I mean, it's just things are just so different. There's so much, more hate and crime out there that you have to be careful of. You see a lot of, we're seeing a lot of kids that that unfortunately, because most families have to have two family incomes, they don't have a lot of support at home. And not because people don't want to. It's just because they are busy trying to provide food for their table.
That's exactly right.
So we owe an obligation to try to keep our kids safe and learning. And if they get in trouble, to learn from that behavior, don't do it again. But again, there are some, unfortunately, that there's accountability. And if you're going to break the law and have a machine gun, that's much more significant than someone that may just be getting in a little trouble with vandalism or something like that. So it's a range of things. I look at every case individually. Everybody's got different DNA. Every single case has got different DNA. So we take a hands-on approach per case basis, which I think is important. There's no just whitewashing here. There's not just a policy. We make programming available to different sectors of the community, the different things that we see kids need, whether it's substance abuse, whether it's a trauma abuse, Whether it's what they've got post-traumatic stress disorder, all that kind of stuff. We take those things into account. We try to address them and deal with the underlying root problem. What caused this person to get into trouble as a juvenile? And so I think that we're doing a great job of the juvenile program. And obviously,
Oh,
this
I think so.
Pittsfield's great with the Shakespeare and Company and everything.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good effort. But at the same time, too, is we're also making sure these kids aren't on the street and aren't causing problems for businesses, not causing problems for pedestrians and whatnot. So if anybody, we find out anybody that's armed, we're taking them down because I'm not going to allow, as you know, I've made a big priority of this guns and drugs
Yes.
in our community, and we have made a significant
Yes.
reduction and dent into that community, into that culture. And so the reputation is well known up here that we do not tolerate guns and drugs. And so we will continue that. And I'm making sure that we don't find our youth having to be the ones carrying those weapons. If they are, there's consequences that are very serious that unfortunately won't allow you to have diversion. Diversion is for kids that fall into the system and need help to get on the straight and narrow. But if you're deep in the throes of it, unfortunately, you'll have to pay the consequences. So it's very important that kids stay out of trouble, stay away from this stuff. And it's us, our obligation to try to help them do that.
And you know, a couple of things I learned, and I mean learned from being embedded with them, my choice, not theirs, was that so many of them, and I would say a lot of juvenile programs that I've been, in touch with or known about, they lack two things, in my opinion. They don't actually listen, and I mean listen. That's one of the things one of my highest compliments in my career was a really tough kid said to me, "You know, Mr. Sturgeon, you're the only person who's ever really listened to me." And
That's
I wear
true.
that as a badge of honor.
It is. We have to listen to our children. You have to listen. We don't know what's going on with them
No.
unless we're listening to what their problems are, what's going on in their world, and we have to pay attention to what is affecting them, what's happening on these social media platforms, what's
Oh.
happening, on the phones, what are they running into in their schools? And a lot of those are peer mentors, which we obviously work very closely with during the school year to get these peer mentorship programs going so that we can learn from our kids what are the pitfalls, what are the things that they're running into, how can we avoid that, and how can we make sure we deal with it so those issues don't exist. And sometimes if you don't listen to it and it's right in your face, we've got a problem. So we have to listen to what they're saying and what's going on, and we have to react to it and give them the tools again to survive and not commit crimes and survive in the communities without having to, to face these fears alone. And I don't want them facing these fears alone. But we as a society need to do that. And that's why I've invested so much money into our schools.
Well, and the other piece too is between is and this blew me out of the water a couple of times. The so many of them do never really experience consequences.
Yeah, that's the big thing is consequences, accountability. And that's the big word in our office. Everybody's accountable. I get up to go to work every day. I would love to just stay home on a beautiful day. No, we get up and go to work. We're accountable to our jobs, accountable to our families. And if you're going to break the law, we're going to be accountability. Accountability is going to go based upon, again, based upon the level of the criminal activity and also about your history and what you've done and what you're willing to do to correct that behavior. So accountability is the number one word because you have to be held responsible for your actions, no matter what it
And you know, that's not just lacking in the juvenile world.
is. It's true.
You know that.
Oh, yeah.
It's it, and you know, what I think you're doing with that whole diversion program is really solid. But like you made a good point just now, one of the things and that I experienced, and it was mostly with volunteers, because we ran our staff through a really rigorous training, but they wanted to. These were really serious crimes,
Yeah.
stabbing, murder, but they, yes, they wanted to coddle them. And right then, maybe it's what I've learned. I wanted to teach them accountability, responsibility, consequences, good and bad, for your behavior and your performance. Because too often in correctional settings, everything is dealt on your behavior.
Right.
In our youthful offender program, it was behavior and your performance.
Right.
In school, at home, you know, and yours is tailored very much the same.
Yeah, and you want to reward the kids that are doing well too. So that's the whole idea of it. You know, it's the rewards that you give them and show them, and the accolades when they are doing well. It's important that we recognize that. Sometimes we don't do that. We criticize what's happening when something's wrong, but we also have to highlight when they're doing some good stuff. And there are a lot of great kids out there doing that. And even people that find themselves in trouble, they can get out of that and they can do good things. And I want to reward the kids that are doing that. And that's why I believe in the diversion program, because there's accountability. You take accountability for your actions, and you get rewarded by correcting that behavior and make sure it doesn't happen again. So, you know, it really is a simple philosophy, but it's an important philosophy. And we do it in the adult court, because again, we've had to change. There was a lot of evil that was rooted in this community. A lot of drugs, a lot of guns, and you know, a lot of we had rapes and domestic assaults. We have tried so many cases this year. We tried 5 murders in the last 12 months. You know, 3 of which were first degree convictions. All of them were convictions. 3 of which were first degree convictions. We just tried a serious domestic assault and stabbing case last week, which was found guilty. That's going to be sentenced in the next week or so. And that's looking at a 15 to 20 year sentence. It's a very serious crime as well. So we've won 2 big, huge child abuse cases, which we get over 20 years in state prison on. 2 rape cases of domestic violence and rape cases. And again, we have been trying all these cases to jury verdicts. And we're seeing more and more, the public seems more and more safe. They feel more and more safe. So we're getting people like cooperating with us. When I first came into the office 2-3 years ago, people didn't want to cooperate because they didn't trust the police. They didn't trust what we were doing. Well, people trust it now. And we are protecting the victims, and we are making sure they can come in and testify and that they'll be able to do it. And I attribute that a lot to also having a great chief of police and a great sheriff in the county and good chiefs across the county, because they work, they work with the community as well. And people feel safer with them. They're seeing how they're out there, because they do community engagement with us. They're out there, like National Night Out. Unfortunately, it rained this year, but those events are important, because you can see police officers, the good that they do and what they share and what they're willing to do for their community. Like I said, when we go to the Legends of West Side events and we provide drugs to them, but you'll see police officers there, our lawyers are there. And in my office, you get a mandatory 4-hour of community service this summer. I can tell you everybody's done about 20 hours because they like to do it now. They're having fun. Each year we do it, it gets bigger and bigger. So my office has really reached out to this entire county from Clarksburg to Alfred. We are out and about in the community. We go to these events. We want people to know they can ask questions, what's going on, you know, because that's why your show is important. People don't know, not everything's picked up. It hasn't been in the paper yet. You know, that particular guilty verdict that we got last week. You know, we also had a huge drug bust last week with a submachine gun and some other guns that the Pittsfield anti-crime unit had come upon. And they picked up over 200 grams of heroin and almost 1,000 grams of cocaine. And so 3 huge weapons and defaced firearms. This is all happening. These are all happening when everybody's sleeping at night and they're safe at home. The police officers are out there doing this job, putting their lives on the line. This particular case, they actually rammed into the cruiser trying to escape. These men and women are working so hard out in the streets to protect our city and our county, and they're doing it on a daily basis. And they're getting these drugs, and we're getting these convictions, and we're getting these arrests because they believe in the system that we're doing. They believe in justice and the fairness of what we're providing. And we are catching the bad guys with a lot of drugs and a lot of guns. And so I'm so proud of that. And that was just last Friday. So it just tells you that things are going. And even though I had a tragedy in my life, I'm out working there every single day. Rest assured that I'm seeking justice, and I will continue to seek justice, and I'm doing everything I can in my powers to make sure our community is safe.
And you know what you also have, it's you in your office and your ADAs and all that. I happened to bump into your first assistant. I hadn't seen her in a long time. I was hanging around the office. I think the girl thought I was a little weird, but I brought the Polish princess with me.
I heard that. I wasn't in at the time. I'm sorry. Yeah, I was out all the time. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I brought her so I didn't get arrested. You built a team, not just of your ADAs and of your office, but a team of all of the criminal justice world that have to enforce these laws. You know, I love all these people that are against this. All police do is enforce the laws that the people you voted for made.
Exactly. And that's what here we're not, we don't make, I mean, unfortunately, sometimes there's not statutes that you may feel bad about something. There's nothing I can do about it. But when the laws are on the book, we prosecute them, and the police officers do a heck of a job. The reason why you haven't seen Marianne that much is she tried two murder trials this year. So she's been in that courtroom an awful
I
lot.
know. I bumped that. See, I can't think of one person on your staff that I don't enjoy conversing with because they're transparent. They're
It's a
not,
good office.
they're like you.
I said, when I ran in 2022, 2022, that I
Yep.
was going to build the best law office in Western Mass, and I've done that. I've just hired another prosecutor who's got 14 years experience coming out of Hamden and was a city solicitor there in Springfield, Jeff
Oh.
McDonald. He just started it this week. I've hired three new young lawyers that are starting. One started this week, one starting next week, and one starting in the first part of September. So I hired, this will be the first time in 30 years that this entire office is fully staffed with 25 lawyers. And we have the whole victim witness program is
That's
actually,
wonderful.
and our staff. And we have, this is a fun place to work. People are happy to come to work in
Yeah.
the morning, even though we deal with trauma as on a daily basis. This place is a safe, good place to work. I know I like being here because I'm around good people, and they're upbeat, and they're like me, and we lead by positivity. We lead by, we want to fix the future. We want to fix the problems. We don't hear a complaint. We're not here to complain. We're here to correct whatever issues out there. We take it from that approach, and we do it optimistically with a strong vision of positivity for the future. And because of that positivity, I feel the community is starting to feel how positive they should feel about their community, about their police departments, and about the public safety that we have established in the last 3 years here. It is a much safer, it's a much better place to live than it was 3 years ago. I'm very proud of that.
And I have to agree 100% with you about that. And I also hear it in the voices of the people that I know still in the criminal justice field. But also when I have like Chief Dolly on and Sheriff Bowler, there's positivity is the word. Criminal justice doesn't always have to be negative. What you may find is a negative situation, but when you take out the cause of it, then it's a chance for rehabilitation and all this. And I just think is the public needs to know that Tim DA Shugrue and his whole team and all the law enforcement from the chief in North Adams to the chief in Great Barrington and all of them in between. I just got an opportunity to meet the new chief in Lenox, or the chief in Lenox, I should say. And you know, I'm going to have him on. I'm going to interview these guys because I want their people to hear about them
Oh
and what
yeah, I
they
mean,
do.
Dalton, Deanna Stroud, one of the and
Oh.
Deanna Stroud, not only she's the chief of police in Dalton, she's also on the Chiefs Association, and she's a president of the Chiefs Association of Berkshire County, but also on the board of the Chiefs Association of Massachusetts. So a strong female role, an excellent police officer, an excellent chief, and running a great department and building a great department. Very proud of her. Steve O'Brien from Lenox, who's been doing it for a long time, has done a great job down there. So we have, we've got great chief in Lee. And of course, we've had Paul Storti forever, who I know very, very well, a very good friend of mine. In fact, I married him and his wife years and years and years ago. They're such a nice people, and they're dedicated to the jobs. Some of them are retiring this year, so we're gonna hope that we have people that we can backfill with. But I'm pretty confident that we will, because the philosophy that everybody has built in their departments and we've built in public safety in the last 3 years, I think is going to go forward, and I think the positivity will continue.
And I think what something else is an evolution, in my opinion. There's an evolution of cooperation and respect among the state and local police.
Yes.
Because years ago there was this rivalry, and now I don't see it. And I think a lot of that, my friend, is you.
Well, I could tell you there were some issues when we first came in, regarding certain departments and certain things that were happening. And once we sat down together at the same table, spoke with each other, and talk about how we share information, how can we do our jobs and help each other out. And we did a lot of training. We did a lot of training with help from the FBI, with help the U.S. Attorney's Office, obviously, Homeland Security, and with Postal Services, we ATF, we brought them all in, and our state police dealing with our local police. Our relationships in the Berkshires are second to none. And the fact that we all work together, and that's why we have task force. We don't have just a drug task force. We have task force because we are a rural community. We use our resources from all our cities to help out the smaller towns and whatnot. And that's helping a lot. And I think the smaller towns appreciate that. The police departments appreciate that. We treat them with respect. And when they need training, I said, well, okay, we're short on this. Or if I see they need training based upon some reports I'm reading, we will address that immediately. So we have done a yeoman's work of trainings at the BIC Center for my lawyers. Also, a lot of my lawyers have traveled nationwide for training, statewide for training. And we've done a lot of that with the police departments as well. So this is becoming a very well-educated force in the county. It's also becoming a very astute force and one that you can feel proud of. And I know I'm proud of them because the Pittsfield Police Department is just the one example, and I can name them all because every single department, I've got a great Adams Police Department, North Adams, Mark Bailey, it's just tremendous. But I gotta say that these people, that are, the way they're working so hard. And let me tell you what I'm finding on the streets. Not just machine guns. We're finding, silencers. We're finding, in bullets that will puncture through Kevlar. You know, we've got, the hollow point bullets. We're finding dangerous weapons that put our police officers at risk. They are out there risking their lives all the time, and we're taking that stuff away so that it's becoming safer for them as well. But, every time they go out on a job, every time they open the door, like when you and I get up and we go into work, I'm going to court. It's not a high probability. It's possible that I would get killed, but it is a high probability. Police officer, he knocks on that door at 2 o'clock in the morning, has a chance that his life or her life at risk. So we've got to recognize that and the stress and duty that they go underneath. And so thank our police officers, thank them for the work that they are doing because they're doing a hell of a job.
And again, it's I tried to tell Mr. Kraft there, Kraft from the Patriots.
Yeah.
Your team is only as good as your quarterback, and he's not been listening. But
they got to be fine, Bill. They got to be a good team. Don't worry about them.
They got to
really. They're man.
When I heard the GOAT was going to come back, I said, "That's great." Probably better at 50 than. But anyhow, I digress. But what I was going to say is you have taken on, whether you wanted to or not, I believe, the role of this quarterback. You got a great team, but somebody had to bring the team together. And I don't want to besmirch anybody, but, I didn't see that for the last few years.
Yeah, it's, I believe in my people. I treat them right. And, I listen to them. Again, you said the big word earlier, that I think everybody should do. Listen. So I listen, see what they need, what are their needs, where you need some training, you need this, you need that, you need support with getting, materials, whatever. I do that. And I've run this office not like a public office. I've run it like a private. I ran my own business for years. It was a very successful business. I run it like a business, and we cut out all the waste and whatnot, and everything is mean and lean here. And so money's going towards my lawyers and my staff, rather than going towards desks and superficial stuff that are not necessary to spend that kind of money on that. So I put the money really where it needs to be. I have worked hard on, like I said, when I came in, there was no policy procedure manuals, there was no human resource book. I've rewritten a book on all that. I've had the audit that they had failed in the past in 2021. I had that transitional audit done right away. We corrected all those issues that existed. We got rid of the ridiculous amount of car storage fees that had been looming. And so I cut through those first couple of years on tough money budgets. And I've made this thing much more efficient. We're now entering into a 10-year lease, expanding our blueprint over here and making have more rooms for all the lawyers and staff that I now have on in the building. So there's going to be a big push in this coming up this next year, getting our offices redone. So there's a lot going on that people don't see behind there, but we're doing it. We're running it efficiently. And anytime I see something that wasn't done the right way the first time, we are correcting all that now. So I feel good how the office is being run. It's being run like a private business, and it's being run very efficiently.
And you're taking on the hard cases.
Oh yeah, we don't shy away from that.
And you're winning them.
We are winning.
Yeah,
Your
yeah.
first few times is tough because people aren't used to us taking. We take our case to trial, and so we're doing those, and I'm going to continue to do that. We're not here to do easy cases in the business. I tell my lawyers I really don't care about the winning and losing. I care about doing a good product in the courtroom and making sure that we're giving everybody justice in every which way and fair justice. And I mean that across the board. If we find out
Yeah.
there's evidence that is exculpatory, we produce it right away. And if I find out someone's been wrongly accused, we address that immediately. We look at it as justice, not as winning and losing. I will never tolerate that in this office. We do everything about justice, and every case needs a special justice because they all are different. They all are like their own DNA.
And you know, I for those people, and I'm sure there are some out there, the district attorney also ran his own defense attorney business for years and was hailed as, and this is no malarkey, it was hailed as one of the best defense attorneys in all of Massachusetts, especially Western Mass. And I can remember some of the cases you took on. I mean, people didn't want to take them, yet you took them on, and you gave the person, whether they prevailed or not, you gave them the best defense they could have gotten. And that, to me, that you're right when you say, and I do think it was you being a defense attorney, which has brought all of this talent that you have, for lack that I can think of, and empathy and justice to the forefront, because you've seen both sides.
It's true. You got to see both sides of the coin. And I really highly suggest that everybody should have that opportunity. When you deal with families that are in distraught, that have their family member charged with a crime and try to
Yeah.
understand it, or you're trying to navigate the criminal justice system, you'll learn that on the defense side. But I started out as a prosecutor for 8 years, did defense work for 28, and now I'm working on 3 years as a DA. So, I see both sides to it. I understand both sides to it. And I think it's important to understand what justice means. Justice means is a balancing. And that's why, I have the lady justice on my desk, because we balance, and justice is supposed to be blind. And so we look at the facts of the case, and we don't look at what someone's background is unless it's some background that's positive that we can use to help them move forward. So I think it's very important to have a well-rounded perspective, and I brought that to the office so that the lawyers all get that. It's not just us versus them or win, win, win. It's let's do what's just, let's do what's right. And oftentimes it can be diversion, oftentimes it can be incarceration, but it just we look at things the way that I believe they should be looked at, and we look at things with a human look, with a sympathetic look, but also with a stern look when it comes to people that won't listen and will continue to break the law.
And again, I bring this up. I know a lot of you do know, but a lot of you don't know it. D.A. Chagrou, a friend of mine, Joe Colias, they started Kids Place with their own money. With their own money. And they bought a place and they turned it in to a therapist, in my words, please, Tim, jump on me if I'm wrong. They turned it out into a therapeutic community for children who had been abused, not the cold-hearted police station, not the DA's office, this official. It's a home, and everybody can be. It's a one-time storytelling. What happened?
Yeah,
Not
and
you
what's good
tell
about
this
that?
detective and that detective, and then you go
Right.
to the DA, and that. The concept was brilliant. But more brilliant was making it happen. My mother used to have a saying, God rest her soul, Saint May Saint, the Irish mother, don't you know? She would say, Willie boy, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, and this week you've been the lead paver.
Well, she had a good philosophy. You got
Yeah.
to be careful. You got to watch what you do. But seriously, the kids' place was designed as a. It was true. We were interviewing in the basement of the Pittsfield Police Station.
Yeah.
I was doing it in Springfield, and we established a center at the hospital. But up here, when I moved back to the Berkshires, I wanted to get a house, and we were able to secure that house with some individual private donations and then some funding that we had backed. And we got that house off the ground some 32, 33 years ago.
You
And
believe it, yeah.
it's been operating all this time. I think it was 93 we started. So and that's been operating. It just shows you started out a small little budget. Now it's got a very significant budget and it works. And the idea is to, it's a one-stop location where if a child has been faced trauma or some sort of abuse, including domestic violence now as well, we interview the children there in different age-appropriate rooms with the other disciplines, whether it's DCF, whether it's a therapist, whether it's a nurse or doctor, and we'll have a forensic interviewer, and the police officer and the victim advocate can watch and behind a closed one-way mirror, and the children are able to tell their stories enough to tell it over and over again, and then we can we kind of give them treatment and give them the availability to have a medical examination. Where we can determine what the extent of some of the abuse did to them, and also give them the chance to break the cycle, to get them help with therapy, because a lot of abusers were also abused as a child. So we try to make sure that we get them the help that they need to deal with the post-traumatic stress disorder that comes from being an abused child, and hopefully help them in their lives going forward so they can live whole, beautiful, and successful lives. And it's a wonderfully successful program designed by Bud Kramer out of Huntsville, Alabama. So it wasn't my idea. Lawyers are great at plagiarizing. So I, with his permission, I joined his organization, and we were one of the first. We were the first in New England, and we were the 225th in the United States at the time in 1993 to join Bud Kramer's group of the National Children's Advocacy Center. And we've been members of that since then.
Wow.
And again, we were the first ones in Massachusetts, first one in New England. And I'm proud of the fact that it's still operating and running. And it's a necessary facility, but I can tell you it does help children so much more. And it helps stop the cycle. And it does help getting kids out of the cycle of abuse. So I'm very proud of that. I know Joe Kalietz is very proud of it as well. He's a
Yeah.
dear friend of mine. His granddaughter actually is a state trooper for me now.
Oh,
So
wow.
yes. So
Wow.
life goes around. It's kind of funny. My daughter, as you know, is a prosecutor, and she's trying to
Yep.
domestic assault case in Salem as we speak right now. But it's funny how our kids and our grandkids have ended up doing the same kind of work that we have done, and I'm proud of that.
Well, I worked with Joe as a detective, and he was always a top-notch guy, in my opinion. I we're still friends today. We don't see each other very much, but I think part of it, what you what. Will be your maybe your legacy as a DA will follow you, but that you and Joe, that house will follow you into perpetuity. It really will.
Yeah, I hope it keeps going. That was the whole idea, but we designed it so that we'd eventually have to be off the board so we could be self-sufficient, but we're nearby and we always help out all year. And now that I'm back in the DA's office, it is so much more beneficial because I can work with these cases. And when I came on, we weren't getting big child abuse convictions. And I came on in 2023, and that's the opposite now. And I got the big Mainwaring one. I took that one myself in the beginning from the Olympian from the 70s and made sure he went to prison for a long period of time. We had two 20-year convictions this year, just in the last couple of months, of individuals that raped and abused children, and now doing over 20 years in state prison. So, we're getting those numbers again. I hadn't seen them when I was in private practice. I hadn't seen that type of dedication being done. Now, those numbers. So, again, we started off with drugs and guns. We moved into organized retail crime, which is booming. We're doing a great job with that. That is just beyond belief, the amount of work that we're getting done out of that. The elder fraud stuff that we have really gotten into, we're getting a lot of
Yeah.
out everywhere. I mean, I have a whole team that goes out there along with the Sheriff Bowler's team. They go with my team, my community outreach people, and my organized retail crime individuals and my fraud crime bureau. And we go out and we speak to all the individuals in the county, again, from Alford to Clarksburg, anywhere in between. We're out there speaking to them. We bring the FBI in. I bring the postal services in, all talking about the most recent scams that we're seeing. I try to speak at those when I can, but as you can imagine, my schedule is incredibly tight at 70 hours a week even. But we try to get to all these events so that I can show the people that we are working on this. We care about it, and we have again, it's another part of the team that they're not
Yeah.
lawyers, but they're doing the outreach for education on the scams and the frauds that we see. I can't stress enough what James Hall has done to the
Yeah,
organized retail
we're going to
economy.
have to take a break and come back. Let's talk
Yep.
about James when we come back.
Okay, you got it.
All right. Hey, this is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We're simulcasting on PCTV. And for the goodness of the DA, we have expanded our coverage just because of the DA in the Southern Berkshire. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
Greetings, this is John Pollock, host of The Jazz Train, which comes your way every Saturday night from 10 to 11:30. The Jazz Train generally features music recorded on a particular calendar date in years past and provides relevant commentary and discographical details. So why not join me for a ride on the Jazz Train for a weekly musical adventure, coming to you on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. The good-looking guy, you see, he has hair. He is the DA of Berkshire County, Timothy Shugru, and a person that I have hold in high regard and respect. And he's doing a great job in all aspects of the job. And one of the things that I didn't say in the first half, and I want to say now, his whole office is transparent. They really are. Here's what we're doing. We're doing retail crime, racketeering crime. We're doing this. We're doing that. We're bringing people out. We're watching seniors that get scammed. My cousins, God rest their soul, we just had a mass for them yesterday. They're both gone at St. Joe. I tell them, don't answer the phone if you don't know the number or the person. But, and then I would get a call. Hey, I just got a call from this guy, and he says that I owe him so much money for my car. How did he know about my car? I don't know. But was it, who do you bring your car to? So-and-so. Was it from him? No. Then don't pay any attention. You know,
it's true. There's a lot of that going on. You know, and I tell people when they answer the phone, be careful what you say because they're recording you for AI purposes.
Yes.
You say very little. If you pick it up, if you don't hear anybody talking to you first, don't speak.
Hang up.
And then hang up because it's going to be spam. Don't speak to these individuals. And if people start telling you, nobody's calling for money on the phone. Nobody. So, you know, don't be responding to any of those.
Or your Medicare number.
Or your Medicare number. Or you went to the toll booth wrong. And then these toll booth ones are just, I get them like 15 of them a day. Oh, you better pay this one and take your license away. It's all fraud. It's all fraud. Right. You know, so you got to be very, very careful. But we're out there telling people, we're telling you what to look for, looking for skimming devices, different things that we teach you. And if you get it, you hear it's in your community, go see it. It's very good. These are live individuals with a lot of experience. We're telling you real life stories that have happened in Berkshire County. And, you know, some of us from the
Postal Service. That's excellent.
Yeah, it's
because
important.
So often, so many, and you know this, I'm not telling the, and a lot of the audience knows, we are not isolated from big city crime.
No. And in fact, the elderly are targeted. You know, that's why I get so much more now. I'm 65. So now, you know, I get the calls that come in. At that generation and trying to scam people. It is just so bad because this is a generation that was a very giving generation. And there are a lot of people that save their money. So they're targets of this type of frauds. And it's really sad to see it. So I tell people and children, keep, you know, listen to your parents and try to be involved in the business because And don't let them, get scammed, because you have to speak up for them sometimes, because it's a very trusting community.
It is, and unfortunately, a lot of the trust that the grandparents have given to the parents are now given to their kids.
Right.
And it, fortunately, I was fortunate to go in the military and have the career I've had, and come back maybe a little jaded, but it's better to be jaded than robbed.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, that's
going to be.
Oh, by the way, that's not the DA. That's Bill Sturgeon saying it's better to be jaded than robbed. Because somebody will pick up on that.
Right. And I don't want people to live in fear. I just want to be clear that there's evil lurks out there. No one knows that more than me right now. But there's evil that lurks out there. But you can't live in fear. You've got to live your life, and you've got to succeed and move on. And just be careful of the fraud that exists out there. And
yes.
Again, it's our elderly community that is what they're going after. So you've got to be very careful. But it's all stuff that if you listen to what we tell you to do, you won't become a victim of a crime.
That's right.
It's important.
And those classes are available. And, if you want to, just get me that and I'll announce them on the show.
Sure. I'll tell Jim to do that. Yep.
Yeah. The other piece, too, is if you've been watching the news, the president has federalized National Guard and troops, and there's a crackdown on juvenile crime. Now, juvenile crime, contrary to what a lot of people are saying, juvenile crime is much more dangerous now than it was when I was a kid. You may get in a fist fight in school and be suspended or get detention. Here, as the DA will tell you, you may run up against a machine gun. So,
right.
Or another gun or a handgun or whatever. What I would like to say, and I'm supporting, and please, Democrats, don't please send me hate mail. I get enough of it. But I am supporting the crackdown on juvenile crime. The DA here has prosecuted serious juvenile crime. He's diverting people who need to be diverted. But for those that are prosecuted, I say this maybe to an audience. The DA knows what I'm going to say. You just can't lock them up. You better have programming for this generation of juvenile. Not
no
for
question.
Mine, not for Tim's, but for this generation.
Yeah.
And that's where I find the flaw, Mr. District Attorney, in the system today.
Yeah, well, I like to think that, I don't do national politics. I care about Berkshire County, and I care about my community, and I see what's happening in my community, and I really don't want other, the federal government or anybody else telling me what to do in our community. So I like to protect our stuff. I think we're doing a great job here. I think keep an eye on the juveniles. I think we work with them to get them out of trouble. I think when we need to prosecute them, we prosecute them. But I feel comfortable how we are handling within the county with compassion.
Oh, I do too.
With severity and compassion, but also to get an eye towards making sure these things stop, making sure we don't have recidivism, to make sure that we get us to a situation where we're getting the stuff off the streets, which we're doing. And I've proved and show that we can do it in a non-political way. And by doing that, just doing our jobs and getting it done. And so I am proud about that. So I don't like to get into party politics, but I like to talk about what we do in our community, our bucolic Berkshires, and how we keep it safe from the rest of the world, and how we keep our streets safe, and how we make sure that we take care of our children, and we also, the ones that may be coming in and causing some problems, we deal with them the way we need to deal with them. We're doing that here, and I'm proud about that.
Yeah.
So I think that we are lucky that we have a compassionate law enforcement community. I think we're lucky that we have a lot of social services that exist in this county, which are tremendous, that give us a lot of resources and availability to put these programming into effect. So I think that we are unique when it comes to that, that we have established sort of our own little bubble here. And I hope it becomes a national model, because what we're doing is very successful, and it's not detrimental, and it's not just bulldozing the city down. It's making sure that we are getting rid of, rooting out the problems and helping the kids that are in trouble.
But you go after them.
Yeah,
I mean,
yep.
Positive sense, you go after the problems.
Yeah, we go after
you
the problems.
You want to find them. You want to solve them.
Yep.
But I'm saying with the juvenile pieces, I'm not going to in any way criticize anything that they've done juvenile-wise. My thing is, if a juvenile goes into lockup, that lockup has to have programming that's current and up to date, dealing with the problems that these juveniles are dealing. Not me, not Tim, not the, you know, the juvenile law of Chicago, whenever that was, where they made the juvenile courts. Today's kiddos, they're facing things that we never even could comprehend. Example, I just heard this the other day, and you probably have heard it. Kiddos can go on AI and learn how to write a suicide note. That, you know, I grew up on Wakona Street, so I didn't grow up in a plush part of town, but I never even heard of that. Never heard that word actually. So
right, and that's why we talked about earlier, and I tell parents this all the time. So important. Anybody that's listening out there that has children, that is a parent of a child under the age of 18, listen to your kids.
Yeah.
Listen to your kids. And if they say something that upsets you, try not to react, overly react to it. Take a deep breath. Think about what's going on. How do we correct this? Let's make sure it doesn't happen again. You know, we have resources out there to deal with issues that kids run into. And some of them as bad as sexting and stuff. There's lots of things that come up that cause some problems. But we have programming in effect that can address these issues in Berkshire County and then with our criminal justice system, with our police departments. So we've got to keep doing that. We just want to make sure that you know, the police are doing that, and that we're, and that the public is letting us aware of it and letting us know about it, and to make sure that it's giving the information to the police department so that they can deal with it. But I think that we do a great job here with it. But it doesn't stop. Like I said, last month it was a machine gun. It was the juvenile, and that bothers me. But you know, we've addressed it. We caught it. We got it. It's not in the school or anything. And so we will continue to prosecute this case and treat it appropriately, considering the circumstances. So we take it seriously. And at the same time, too, we try to make this a programming that has substance, that works. And also, unfortunately, sometimes it's going to require incarceration and DYS custody if people not adhere to what we're telling them to do. And if I keep telling you to do something and you don't do it, you're going to end up in DYS custody. It's just that.
And I will tell you, I've had exposure to the Massachusetts Department of Youth Services. I'm going to tell you, they're keeping up with the challenge. And it is a challenge because it seems like every day some new IT thing or something comes out. The book, and I should charge this guy for royalties. The book, Anxious Generation, I highly get it from the library. If you're parents of a middle school or teenage kiddo, or even read it's an amazing book. And while technology is wonderful, it has its drawbacks. There's good and bad in everything. So.
Absolutely. You know, when the automobile was invented, it turned out there were things with problems with the drinking and driving. You know, things come with it. They come with consequences, and there's some problems with it. But if you set the laws up and do it right so that people they adhere to them, we won't have those kind of problems. That's true with juveniles when you're dealing with the internet safety and, you know, the stuff that happens with taking photographs of other people. There's so many things that are out there that are pitfalls that we got to make sure the kids can navigate. And again, there's so many agencies in this county that I saw as silos in the beginning that are now all working together. And that was our goal. We did the opioid summit last year, and I do the state of the streets with BMC all the time. So we're keeping them apprised of everything that's happening. And at the same time, too, we're also training and teaching, and I'm hearing from them. I want, like, when I deal with the state of the streets at BMC, I want to know, what are you seeing? I'll tell you what we're seeing when we arrest somebody, the type of drugs coming in. What are you seeing in the emergency room? What are you seeing in the hospital? And they tell us that. Again, you got to listen. But you have to go to the source, find out from them, what's the hospital seeing? You know, the same with schools. You go to the schools. That's where the kids are. I go to the school resource offices. What are you seeing? What are you seeing with the kids in school? Is there anybody you feel might be at risk? If there are, let's get them into a programming. Let's get them something. And at the same time, too, when people aren't saying anything, we come in and we train. And we teach them all about internet safety and internet crime. And we do it in the camps this summer. And we did it last summer and did the summer before. Kids have a ball with it. They love it. It's entertaining, and it's part of their camp process. So even though they're having fun, they're also learning at the same time. So I'm proud of our efforts in the schools, proud of our efforts with education and how we're educating the young people to stay out of trouble. And also doing these things with the camps, I like seeing keeping kids busy. You know, there's nothing like going down, driving down Worcester Tyne Street and seeing the splash park
being packed.
Now hearing we're going to have an ice rink in the wintertime. How wonderful is that, that the city is doing that? And I drove by the other day, and I've been driving by all the time because it's on my way to work. I'm seeing that carousel get used over on Center.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm so happy to see it being used. I'm driving home late yesterday, and there were cars still all parked in that grassy area, and I see the thing running around in there. I'm like, this is really good. So we have some good things going on in the city. I'm happy, again, having an ice rink for those who grew up in the Berkshires and know the ice skating is a big deal, and skiing is a big deal. It's going to be a nice additional attraction. But we've got to keep these kids busy. That splash pad is great. That basketball court is never not full. And that baseball diamond is used all the time. That's just me going home. I'm sure that I've all those parks in the entire city. Like I said, I've been at the Dorothy Amos. I've been at the Durant Park. Beautiful, and they're used all the time. We have to make sure that even as parents, we're not get out with the kids, let them have some fun outside, and let's get them busy and away from boredom and away from things that get you in trouble.
And away from this.
Yeah, and away from the phone.
Away from that.
That's right. You watch that splash pad. I don't see any phones out there at all.
Oh.
And it's free, it's free. And so the more things that we see that do that, and I know people are like, well, these things cost money, but, the more you can kind of contribute to those type of things, it saves our community, and it makes our community better.
But the parks are
around.
Free.
Yeah, you're a tourist, you drive around here, you're going to see those people out there, that splash pad and that merry-go-round working, the carousel. It's just wonderful to see, and that's what we need to keep doing. And I heavily promote that when I can with my community outreach people do to reach out to the community.
Well, when I was a kid, the Polish princess and I, we would walk. That's an operative word now, very seldom used. We would walk to the Boys Club dance or the Armory dance, then walk back home. We would walk to skate, and I'm so happy this is happening, to skate on Springside Park.
Yeah, remember those days?
Yes, I do. Or the lake.
And the Common. Don't forget, we had a rink in the Common at one time.
Yes, we did. Yeah, the fire department used to come and spray, flood. My dad used to do it.
Yep. We used to drive. I used to walk from Eleanor Road, which is about 3 miles away, to downtown Pittsfield.
Yeah.
And walk out there to go just to the Boys and Girls Club dances on Friday nights when we were in junior high school and high school. They just we kept busy, and they stayed out of trouble.
And the thing too is, for the kind of an aside, the Polish princess and I yesterday went up and walked the new beach at Pontusik. And the error the Polish princess and I made was we walked down the steps at the parking lot, not realizing we'd have to walk back up.
Back up them, yeah.
But that's they true. Do, I've been told now, they have a ramp for people with disabilities. Just to go and bring a chair, or there's plenty of seating there if you want it, and just go and decompress.
Oh, that side, I don't know which side you went on. The whole beach area is redone, but they also did a nice area that's along the lake on the other side. It's all wooded area. I know they've had some issues with the fishermen, and I think they've resolved those. But that's a beautiful, beautiful walk right there.
Yeah.
You can't get a better picture of the Saddleback, which is Mount Greylock, the original name from Mount Greylock, the Saddleback. You can't get a better picture of that over the lake there. It's just absolutely mesmerizing. It's peaceful. And they have the picnic tables up there. That park is being redone as well. It is going to be beautiful. And Anoda Lake is always another nice gem.
Things
that we have. And don't forget the State Forest with Berry Pond and everything else. We have a lot of things that are available to us. But for a while there, they were falling in disrepair. Now the stuff is being fixed up. And it's important because that's where we keep our communities at and where we keep our kids. And people that can't afford it, we shouldn't ever have to charge to get into these parks.
Right.
And we don't.
And we don't. And that's the thing. Take advantage of the splash pools at the Common and at the various. Use the track. The track. Taconic is now open again. A beautiful, beautiful track.
All free.
And the DA's right. Bring back family. I've said this on the air, and I'll close with this, that I was at a restaurant the Polish princess and I, and there was a family of five, and they're all on their phones with other situations. You know, when you sat at our supper table when I was a kid growing up, that's when we discussed things and we had family. And to see it, it broke my heart, to be honest with you, Tim. It broke my heart.
Yeah, it's just, that's just sort of the generational thing. Like you said, they have a lot of benefit.
Yeah.
But you know, you got to listen and put your phones down and talk to your kids and talk about what's going on in their lives, what's happening in their day. It's so important. And I can say that I'm so proud that I've had that in my entire life with both my family when I was growing up and with my family.
Same here.
With my three kids. And I'm just so happy that I always was able to tell them I love them and they told me they love me. And so if you ever have a tragedy, right, what I unfortunately went through, I feel solace that my daughter knew I loved her and I loved her.
And God bless you and your beautiful wife. Thank you for coming on. I know you've got to jump. Folks, this is a DA we all should be proud of. And he's got an office that we all should be proud of. And I'm always honored and privileged to have him on this program. But as I say, and I know some of you text me, I understand, you don't care for this separation of church and state, but God bless, and let's take care of each other. If you can lift somebody's burdens, do it. Don't make another burden for people. It costs nothing to be kind. Let's take care of each other. We're all in this together. Let's take care of each other. God bless. Mr. District Attorney, thank you very much. Please say hi to the real commander of that house for us and tell her we're thinking of it and praying for all of you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. You say hi to Roseanne.
I will. See you later, everybody, and stay tuned. We'll be back with the DA in a couple of weeks. Bye-bye.